Over the past 10 years, the way we produce and consume news has changed significantly. Smartphones, tablets, and social media have made us plugged in all the time, anywhere. And on-demand TV has thrown out the religious 7 p.m. couch time to get the latest news bulletin. But with the latest news always on hand, is an addiction to the new in news damaging our understanding of the events being reported on? Catherine Murphy is political editor at The Guardian Australia, and she's written a literary essay entitled On Disruption about the wide-reaching impact technology has had on the media. Catherine joins me now. Good morning and welcome back to Breakfast.
Thank you so much for having me.
You, look, it's such an interesting essay that you've written and so timely. You suggest the quickening pace of news writing, Catherine, and consumption has created, and I quote you here, febrile, superficial, shouty, shallow, pugnacious cacophony of content, wonderful group of adjectives, where sensation regularly trumps insight. I mean, that's quite an assessment. Should we even bother to tune into the news tonight?
No, I know. It is sort of on the worst case scenario. It is quite depressing. It sort of gets into dystopian territory before I yank everybody back into the more enduring positives of journalism. But I think if I could start, Geraldine, with why I wrote this, I think that would be useful. Mm-hmm. As you've foregrounded, obviously there's been a very big change in the media landscape over the last decade or so. We're all part of it because we are all immersed in the ecosystem. It's not just an issue of import for journalists or for politicians. It's an issue of import for all of us. And in my view, a lot of consumers may not be able to put together all these moving parts and understand why certain things are happening. So I think Australian consumers are fully aware that Uber has upended the taxi industry, that Airbnb has upended the hotels industry. But it might be just a bit harder to see how internet disruption of media is impacting what they read, whether or not they can trust what they read anymore, whether or not it's sustainable for this content to go on being produced, given our business models have been under threat largely because of technological disruption. And also something I'm very fascinated by, because I'm a political journalist and I work on the front line of this, is whether our hyper-connected lives are basically organising us into camps, increasing conflict and making polarisation worse. So that's the terrain of the essay. That's what I look at.
You do. And look, it's a very, you know, you just can't canvas all the things that I have to say do keep me awake at night sometimes. You've got this marvellous quote, I think. Increasingly, conflict manifests in contemporary politics as a commodity or an end in itself. Prosecuting the war has become more important than negotiating the peace. I think that's an extraordinary... And for a democracy, that's very serious.
Well, there's a couple of things happening, I think. As trust in institutions decline, what happens is that people chase their core supporters. So we're seeing in politics, because there's disruption in politics caused by outsiders, people who are not establishment politicians upend, create competition. Politicians know that they are not as trusted by voters as they once were. So what they do is they rally their core supporters. I think there is a similar dynamic in media organisations, except it's not much remarked on or talked about. We institutionally are suffering the same crisis of trust. We are looking for groups of readers or core groups of readers who will rally behind our news organisations and support what we do. So we are sort of issuing a similar call to arms, basically, for readers and supporters. And what happens, or the worst of that, is that tribalism becomes commodified. And because the news cycle has sped up so significantly for those reasons that you mentioned in your intro, Geraldine, because we want our news now, because we're consuming it on tablets and mobiles and on the go, the news cycle has intensified significantly. At the core of any news cycle is conflict. And when you intensify the news cycle, you also intensify the conflict cycle.
Well, is it the core of the news cycle, conflict? I mean, that's certainly not what I would have said that influenced me when I entered journalism. Certainly, absence from the norm, difference from the norm, that was told to me, you know, you warn people if a hurricane's coming sort of thing. But I wouldn't have said conflict was the core of the news cycle. Do you think it is now?
Well, I think in political news it is, and I don't mean that in some arbitrary or manufactured sense. I just mean that that politics is fundamentally a battle of ideas, and that what we see, democracy is basically the synthesization of conflict without resort to violence.
Yes.
That's what it is,
yes.
Right? So if you
but
are...
But it is the synthesization, you know.
Well, that's what I'm trying to hang a lantern
synthesis
over. It's a synthesis, yes. I think that's probably better. Sorry, it is early, guys. That's what I'm trying to hang a lantern over. I think in political systems, and also because we scurry along behind political systems, obviously, as the first drafters of history, I think there has been, conflict has been a method of synthesising different points of view. Increasingly now, conflict is not a method of resolving points of view. It's a method of highlighting difference. And I think the practical effect for that, for a news consumer, for a politics watcher, is that there is this cacophony of dispute and contention, which is not resolved, which is burning out politics.
Indeed.
And burning out news consumers.
And okay, so what do we do about it?
I knew you were going to ask me that. Oh, that's a lot harder. I think the flip side to the difficulties that I outline in the essay is that I think journalistic outlets all around the place are doing great work. And what they're doing is what we have always done, what journalism has always done, and that is show up, bear witness, try and explain what's happening in very complex and fast-moving times. I think we are still, as a collective, showing up and doing the work. And while I'm full of uncertainty about the future, and I cannot tell you how this story ends because I'm still living it and I'm still in the middle of it, I still retain as much belief, hope, in the power of journalism to change a society for the good, and also to act as an institutional accountability mechanism. I haven't lost my faith in journalism. And looking around, my colleagues, we're working so hard. We believe in what we do. We keep showing up. That's all I can say, Geraldine.
We keep showing up. Are you cool and dispassionate? Those wonderful words. No one uses those. Look, congratulations. It's something everyone should read. Dare I say, it won't threaten the forest. So, Catherine Murphy, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. It's very kind.
Catherine Murphy, On Disruption. It's a Melbourne University Press publication, and I think it should be required reading.